All right, so what we're going to do right now is we're going to go over this, the results of the questionnaire, and we want to talk this through. So the idea of a focus group is I'm going to kind of present to you some of the things that happen in the questionnaire, what I received back. It's not about right or wrong answers, so don't worry about this. This isn't, you know, it wasn't a test, and did you get an A or anything like that. But this right now gives opportunity for some feedback and to try to think these things through. Okay. Now, what you'll see here is that I received 34 completed questionnaires. Ironically, in the mail just yesterday, I received number 35, which was from Rio Rancho. But I'm not going to put that into the data because then you know it's, but anyway, you know where it's from. But the idea again was to be anonymous. And this is going to be a little bit challenging because today is Pastor Cundiff's last Sunday in Rio Rancho. So hopefully I will receive all of the follow-up questionnaires from there. We'll see how this goes. But this is the 34 completed questionnaires that I had as of last week, not the one I just got in the mail. And so 34 people participated. I needed 30. Okay, because of this this doctorate level degree and this project, the requirement is a basic 30 people to participate. We got that, which is good. Now, when you were filling out the questionnaire, if you filled out the questionnaire, you would notice that there were these 14 questions, and it was going back and forth with roles and expectations. What is the role? What is your expectation? Now, there was a method to my madness. So it wasn't just this abstract concept and idea of putting forth questions that mean nothing. And if you notice on this first page, what I've done is I've kind of broken it down so you can see visually a little bit of my method here. That you have the household, which is the first 8 questions. So you're looking at the family. What is the role of the family in life? What is your expectation of the family in life? You move from the family to married couple, spouse. What's the role? What's your expectation? You move to parents, okay? Role, expectation. You move to children, role and expectation. So that's basically in the household of how we live together in community. We live in a fallen world that's falling apart because of sin. It separates us from each other, but God wants us to live in community and interact with each other. And so that first section is really in the household. How do we live life together in community in the home? Now, what takes place in the home is a reflection of the church or the other way around. I mean, it goes both ways. That the house is like the church. It's the house of God. The church is like a family. It goes back and forth. So the second set of questions you'll notice that was about the church. So what are the roles and expectations of a pastor? Okay. What are the roles and expectations of a member of the congregation? And then what are the roles and expectations of a Christian in general? Kind of like in society. What's that role of that Christian? Now, on the second page, what I want you to see here is that two people in particular, I'm giving you examples, all right? Again, this is not about being right or wrong, okay? You're just looking at the facts here. That's why this is all anonymous. I'm not even saying who said what, okay? I mean, so if it was you who said one of these things, you know, just give me the poker face and just go, oh, that's interesting. I mean, whatever. But so I want you to see some of these results. For instance, one person stated, isn't my perceived role also going to be my expectation? Kind of confusing for me. So again, what we're just looking at is results to this questionnaire and how people were interacting with these questions. So this person in particular kind of started off by saying, I don't get it. It's so confusing. It doesn't make sense. A role, expectations, it's the same thing. Okay. Now on the flip side, I'm going to show you the exact opposite. There was another person who said this. Okay. At the very beginning of the questionnaire, this person redefined what a role is and what an expectation is. Now, I don't know if that was just helpful for the individual as the individual went through and kind of answered the questions, or if the individual is trying to show me that this is the a proper way to look at it, or maybe just kind of thinking out loud that in conjunction, this is how to look at it. But the other person did the exact opposite and saw a complete distinction between a role and expectation. So this person redefined and said, role, the part that society or culture assigns to a person, place, or thing, an idealistic and broad goal. Now you see this, the idea here with the role is it's an ideal. And then the expectation, this kind of a unique definition, is a personal perception, interpretations, and performance of that role. An objective or learning outcome that achieves the goal. Okay, so this person made this distinction, saying, this is how I see role and expectation. The other person said, I don't see a difference.
Was there a reason why you didn't define those terms up front?
I actually did. So we'll look at what I how I define it. It was actually on the directions on the title page. Well, now that gives me a clue of which one could possibly be Carol's. No, I'm joking. Okay. Now, here's some interesting things that I want you to see here also, is that questions one and two, so I'm grouping these together. Remember, that was role and expectation. This is the family. Okay. Four out of the 34 people said that the expectation is the same as the role. So remember, one person said it's confusing, another person said it's very clear, and I'll show you how clear it is. I'm going to tell you how clear it is. All right. But so notice that 4 out of 34 just went through and said, role, expectation, same as above, or same thing. Now again, we're thinking this through. There's a lot of possibilities of why somebody said same thing. Now, it could be, hypothetically, somebody said, wow, this is a lot of questions. If I just say same answer, I only have to do half the questions. I mean, that could be, okay? Or it could be that there was a confusion on role and expectation. Or, for instance, if somebody says the role is this ideal, remember this idealistic broad goal, and then the expectation maybe is, I expect them to do the ideal. Okay, so maybe that's kind of how they're seeing the same thing. But I do want you to notice these numbers. That first one for the family, only 4 out of 34 said role and expectation is the same. Now, when you went to the spouses, notice the number went up a little bit. So 6 out of 34 people said that the expectation is the same as the role. Now notice all of a sudden you're progressing and you get to the question of parents. Now 9 out of 34 people said the expectation is the same as the role. Okay. Now when you get to the question 7 and 8 about children, 8 out of 34 people said the expectation is the same as the role. But notice how that first set of questions was the least amount of it's the same thing. And it kind of sort of started to increase. Now, when you get to the second part of this, where you're talking about the church, that was the household, notice that the numbers go up high. Okay. Now, again, we're just looking at the data. We don't know why, what was the reason. I mean, it could have been you're at question number 9, and you say, if I just put same answer, I'm done quicker, right? I mean, I don't know. You don't know. But it is interesting. It wasn't just one person who did that. So when you get to the church, questions about the pastor, 11 out of 34 people said the role and expectation is the same thing. Same thing with the congregational member, the role and expectation is the same thing, 11 out of 34. And then when you get to questions 13 and 14 about the Christian in life, the idea is 10 out of 34 people said the expectation is the same as the role. So in that area of the church, there were more people who were saying it's the same as in comparison to what was going on in the family. Okay. So what are some thoughts about this?
Well, I would think that the people determine the role, right, as a whole. Society determines the role.
Okay.
So in a congregation, the congregation determines the role, right? Or we determine the role as a society in the church. And so that's why I think it would be higher that the expectations are that you follow, you know, the church follows the role, because, you know, but in your personal life,
yes,
you don't. I mean, I'm hard-headed enough that I don't care what society tells me my role should be. It's going to be whatever I want.
Yes.
Not what society tells me they think I should be.
Yes.
I don't think it takes a whole city to raise my children. I think it takes two strong parents.
Yes.
Okay, so, but when it comes to the church, the role of the church is pretty much defined by everyone in the church. And so the expectation of the church, when you're raised in the church, you know what that role is. And I think that's why it's skewed the way it is.
Okay, good, good point.
I would point out, though, that your definition of role doesn't mention societal common knowledge. It just says common knowledge or
yes.
shared view. So you don't say at what level that is formed. So yes, society might have one, as a whole, might have one view of parents. But if instead you're thinking of the common view of the church society is of parents, you might get completely different.
But at the same time, we also recognize that not everybody read your stated roles and expectations.
True. True. And of course, one person redefined what I had said. Maybe in addition to, or maybe it was helpful either to me or to the person. But
I want to note that you do not have anywhere near a random selection. Right? You have a very focused group. The only people that would have answered this are people that care. Go to church, they go to Lutheran
yes.
church, Lutheran church, Missouri Synod, blah, 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 very non-uniform set of people.
Correct,
so
correct.
Just make note of that.
Correct, good point, yeah, good point.
And then you've been teaching us for how many years now? 14 years?
Right, right, I've been here 14 years
right.
now, yeah. Yeah, but if you look at the bottom of the page, what is the difference between roles and expectation? This was on the front of the questionnaire. This is what I stated. The idea of a role is formed from a common knowledge and or a shared view. Okay. Now, that common knowledge can come from society, from culture, from work, from anywhere. Okay, but it's a common knowledge. Then the idea of an expectation is formed by your personal view of what you expect. So that's where I was trying to make this distinction between what is the role as people in general define the duties of somebody, but then now what do you expect that person to do? Yes.
I think it also reflects on how each individual was raised.
Yes.
Than someone who's been pounded into their heads for this how long on. This is what the church is, and
right,
what
right.
they should be doing. The same way with family, depending on how your family lived, can make a big difference on your view. Your view may have changed, but those thoughts are still back there.
Yep.
This
yep.
is the way I was raised. There must be something to it. And, you know, being raised when I did 100 years ago, and things were so different.
Yes, yes, they
the whole
were.
Whole outlook on church and family was different than what it is
today. Yes, yes.
As, on a similar note, I was thinking that actually maybe why there's fewer people saying roles and expectations were the same for the family. Because I think, generally speaking, people spend more time with their family than their church, and so they see all the different ways that things could diverge
okay.
from like one sort of overarching theme or role. Like
right.
They have like more intimate experience with their family members and can see like you know variance in behavior.
So on the next page, on the top of page 2. The staple is kind of funny there. But I'm going to give you a simple distinction. This was not on the questionnaire, but I'm just kind of hashing this out. A simple distinction is to say that the role is a duty and the expectation is that a person properly fulfills the duty with any extra qualifications. Okay. So think of the role as it's the duty that the person is supposed to do, and the expectation basically is that they do it. That's the idea. So I'm going to give you some examples. Now, these were not in the questionnaires, but I'm just giving you examples to talk about the distinction between role and expectation. So here's an example that I created. I made this up, okay, not in the questionnaire. The example is this. The role of a pastor is to preach and to teach, okay? That would be the duty, the role. But the expectation might be, the expectation is that the pastor is a good preacher and teacher who does not contradict the word of God. Okay? You see how expectation is a little bit more than just the role? Okay? So yes, his duty is to teach, but you want him to be a good teacher. You could be a bad teacher, right? Even though you're fulfilling the role of teaching, right? Here's another one, the example of a referee. Okay. The role of a referee is to follow the rules of the game. That's the duty. The expectation is that he applies the rules fairly to both teams. Now, you're seeing how I'm setting this up, okay? The parents, another one, okay? This one's a little bit different, but this is kind of like what Ray was saying. Society says, I mean, this is the idea. Society says that the role of a parent is to care for the physical well-being of children and to make sure that they have a formal education. Okay? So you might have actually put that as your answer. Okay? A lot of people use the word society, by the way. It's funny how many times society came up in answers. But this is not this is my made-up answer, right? But society says this. But your expectation as a Christian then might be, in addition, I expect parents to take care of the spiritual well-being of children and to make sure that they have an education of the Bible. Okay. So that would be a distinction between a role that society says this, but my expectation is there's more to it than just the bare minimum. Okay, so those are some kinds of examples I gave. Any thoughts on that? I mean, are you following how I'm kind of making this distinction? Okay. Now, this is a quote. Okay, so now this one actually comes from the questionnaire. Again, I don't know who said it. Okay, don't know. And if you said it, give your poker face. Okay, pretend like it's not you. One person stated, many of these questions ask for expectations of people and things. So this was at the very beginning of the questionnaire. You know, this kind of little note at the very beginning, note to me, right? Okay. Expectations denote that you have a preconceived set of characters or behaviors for people or situations that are new to you. Rather, judgment should be made after adequate exposure to the people or situations. This judgment should be moderated by a Christian ethic and a belief that no person or situation is perfect. Tolerance and acceptance are virtues to be pursued. I hope that the above is a direct or sometimes an indirect answer to questions 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, and 14. Now again, the odd-numbered questions were the role. The even-numbered questions were expectations. So basically this person's saying, this is my answer for all expectations. And so going on, next sentence, God judges by the spark of faith, man judges by the fulfillment or lack of expectations. All right, any thoughts on that? Wait, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. Stay on this one. I mean, can somebody summarize what's the point that this person's trying to make? Yes, Tyler.
This person's trying to say that we should be careful about laying expectations on people because no one's perfect, and like we believe that as Christians we should be merciful to people who do not adequately meet our expectations.
Okay. Anyone else?
I want you to expect as little of me as possible.
Okay.
I
Yeah. Okay. Now, again, the idea of roles and expectations. There is a method to my madness, all right? It's not just some weird concepts that I threw down on a piece of paper. The idea of roles and expectations directly has to do with how we live together with each other in community. God puts things into order. He puts people into places to bring order. And so there's certain roles in which the blessings of God will flow, and then there's going to be expectations. But of course, we live in a sinful world. All right. So now look at the next one. We'll move on to the next one. Another person stated, and I should have underlined this, for every expectation. So this answer was common to every single expectation, which was similar to the other one. The other person just noted all the even numbers should be this. This person, on every single expectation, had this little sentence, I expect them to fail.
That's a negative way of looking at life.
Okay.
If you always expect everyone to fail, then what do you, I mean, you expect yourself to fail? You don't ever, you know, nothing's ever good enough? I mean, how can you get up in the morning? You know, everything's going to go wrong, right? Everything fails. How do you go through life like that? I've been around people that do, mm-hmm. but it just, I don't even want to be around. I don't know if you do or not, but that's a horrible attitude to have.
Now, just to clarify, this was on the expectation. So it's, what do you expect of somebody in this role? So, I mean, just to clarify, it wasn't in the role that this is the role and the person's going to fail the role. It was in the category of expectation, just to clarify.
Yeah, it's their expectation.
Yes.
And they expect everybody to fail. That means every day when they get up, they know nothing's going to go well.
Okay.
Right?
And they know, not that it's not going to go well, it's just not going to go perfectly.
Yeah. I think that's, there's
a big difference.
So if everything has to go perfectly for you, how do you live life? I mean, no one's perfect. Everybody's going to fail.
Yeah. This is an accurate statement, I think.
So you think it's an accurate statement?
Well, you just said it.
They're making the comment. If you had the role as the ideal, they're saying I expect them to fail that ideal.
I guess.
Now, I'm not saying it's necessarily the same person. I honestly don't think it wasn't the same person who said that word ideal before. But I mean, it does help us kind of interpret this.
And I interpreted this differently, in that this is the quintessential Lutheran answer, that I see sin in everything I bloody well do. From the moment I get up to the moment I fall asleep, there's just sin everywhere. In my world, that I can see, in me.
Right, so they're answering it as a...
That's how I do it.
Lutheran to the core.
Not
they could have clarified.
Not any non-Lutheran answer, right? It's just, that's my guess, what they're thinking.
Again, these are short answers. We're just looking at the short answer.
I think it's just saying the same thing as the previous paragraph in a different way.
In a different way.
No one's perfect. Basically, you're going to fail an ideal, but not so much in the negative sense.
But no, I bring this to your attention because I found it very unique that these two people, okay, said similar things, not identical, similar things, but they're the only two people who said anything like this. Nobody else said anything like this. Nobody. Only two people. And both of them were basically saying, this is my answer for every expectation. It wasn't just there was one expectation, like let's say, for instance, the pastor, I expect him to fail, or the wife, or the spouse, the husband. It wasn't that. It was across the board for every expectation, this is my answer. So only two people said that. Okay. Which brings us to this question, and this is why I find this unique and interesting for this topic, because the question at the bottom of the page, this is my question now, how does forgiveness help us in our life together when others do not meet expectations or fulfill their roles? Any thoughts on that? See, this is the direction I'm going with this, is that it's two people brought out this reality that there's going to be either judgment, personal judgment, your personal opinions, there's going to be failures, there's going to be a lack of somebody doing what you think they should do or what you want them to do. Okay, but what does this mean for our life together? Yes?
I think it kind of sets us back on the same playing field, kind of, because no, nobody's going to be perfect. We're all going to make mistakes. We're not going to achieve every expectation, all the goals that we have. But with forgiveness, we're letting everybody know it's okay, I forgive you. We're all sinners, but God has forgiven us so we can forgive each other and we can still live with each other even though we're not perfect.
So are you using the results of this in your thesis? Because that's like love.
Yes, that's why I'm recording it. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of building off of that, it's like when someone fails in their goal or expectation, like you either forgive them or you don't. Mm-hmm. And if there is repeated or continual lack of forgiveness, I don't know how you could live together. So I guess to put it even more strongly, it's that forgiveness is the way we live together in light of the fact that we all fail repeatedly.
So in that negative statement before, the one that was extremely negative, I expect them to fail, then the follow-up is, well, if you expect them to fail, do you also expect of yourself to give forgiveness and to not hold it against the person? I mean, for a lack of a better way to say that. But that this is where the forgiveness comes in. And again, this is the whole theme. So that's why I'm bringing this out. Because if we're living together and you have an ideal role and you say, person A is supposed to do this, and person A does not do that, now how do you live with that person? Do you hold it against the person? Do you say, I'm not going to talk to the person? Am I going to just run from the person? How do you live together? Well, in a family, it's kind of hard within the family because you guys are always living together, right? Likewise in the church. So what do? Do you leave the church? Do you leave and move to a different country or something to get away from your family and your home? But the key is a forgiveness. Now, I'm going to show you some data points here. This is Drew-type stuff. This is what Drew's going to like. And so when I'm going through this this questionnaire and the results, I was looking at every one of these questionnaires, roles, expectations. Now, the word support, it came up over and over and over again. I mean, so many times, it almost seemed like you guys were cheating off of each other. It was almost like you all just read some article about support or something. But it is an interesting word because it has to do with living together in community, okay? Family, spouses, parents, children, pastor, congregation, Christians in the world. Okay? But the word support came up quite frequently. Now, the way this little chart works is that on the left-hand side, that column there, that's the question number. Remember, all the odd questions are the role, all the even questions are the expectation. Now notice that 15, the very first question, 15 people, that doesn't mean 15 times the word support came up, because you might have somebody use the word support in three sentences in the one answer, right? But 15 people in their answer to the role had support. I mean, that's almost half. Then when you think of family, 15 out of 34 said support. That was the word that came into people's minds. Okay, 15. Now, if you go through the list, so question two, I mean, it corresponds support. Support in your role, support in your expectation. Spouses, that's 3 and 4. Support, 15 and 16 times in the answers. Now, notice that it drops a little bit when I talked in question 5 and 6, that's parents. Okay. All of a sudden, the word support's not there. Okay. So only 4 times it came up. I mean, so it could have come up in the way of parents support each other or parents support kids or how that support works. But notice the frequency was less. 7 and 8, now when you're talking about the role of the child, 0 times in the role of the child, nobody said the word support at all. So the child is completely off the hook. The child's not supposed to support anybody. The child's on his or her own, right? And only 2 times was the expectation support was brought up in there. Okay. Now, when you get to 9 and 10, this is when we start to talk about the church. At question 9, what's the expectation of the pastor? Only 1 person in the answer in that expectation brought up the word support. Now, I find this strange in a little bit of a way, because when we're looking at the household in the church, I see kind of a reflection of each other. So if there's a lot of support in the home, you would think there's supposed to be a lot of support in the church. But so now we're looking at the church type question. So question number 9, only once did it come up with the expectation of pastor. Only 3 times did it come up, with the role of the pastor, 10 is the expectation, only 3 times. But when you go to the role of a member of the congregation, the word support jumps up again. So now people are seeing congregation as family. Okay? Because remember, number 1 was the expectation, 15 answers, 15 people had responded with support in the family. Now 12 people respond support in the congregation. That's the role of a congregation member, is to support one another. And then, of course, the expectation dropped. So the expectation wasn't as high. So even though 12 answers said support was the role, the expectation wasn't necessarily there. In 13 and 14, notice that there's 0 people who use the word support in the answers. Now, I'm going to speculate and guess. Maybe that's because it's the individual Christian against the world. I mean, so the question was, what's the role of a Christian in life in general? It's a very generic thing. And what's the expectation? So I'm guessing maybe it's the Christian isn't there to support the world. The Christian is an animosity. I'm guessing. Yeah.
Did it have to be exactly the word support?
Yes, exactly the word support. That's why, because it came up so often, I would just, it kind of intrigued me.
You know, it could be an equivalent.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I did equivalents, but on this one, this one was specifically the word support. Okay, and so I'm just showing you kind of as I'm looking through the answers, kind of how I'm analyzing. I did a lot of other word search type things, so there was a lot of other words, but I'm not giving you the results because it's not as important, because I was just trying to track what was common. Okay, like I said, the word society came up quite a bit, but I'm not actually going to talk about that because I don't think it's as important to forgiveness. Because the idea of support is supporting one another. Okay. Now you see where forgiveness fits into supporting one another? If support is important, how much more so is forgiveness important in support? Now, the next one on the right there at the top is prayer. Now, I want you to see this. I broke this down a little bit differently because it came up a little bit differently. Again, on the left-hand column, you have the question numbers. Okay, the first column to the right of that is prayer. So that's just the word or the concept of prayer. So this one, for example, Carol, is not necessarily just the word prayer. Before it was just the word support. This one's the word prayer or the concept of prayer. Okay, and so the concept of prayer, one time that came up in the first question. Okay, what's the role of the family? Only 1 person answered prayer should be in the family. 1 out of 34. If you look at the numbers, number 3, this was a little strange to me, but number 3, 0 people in the role of spouses said anything about prayer. So these numbers are much lower than the word support. When you get down to the church side of things, let's see here. That's family, spouses, parents, Notice that the expectation there came up 5 times with parents. But once you get to the church side, it seems that more often the word prayer came up, or praying, the concept of praying. So now I broke it down more specifically, Carol, to the right. So to the right, this is the word pray, okay? And now that's the word pray in general, okay? In general, that somebody should pray. But notice that the next column to the right is to pray for others. So if you look down at the bottom here, the totals for the concept of prayer were 36 times. Okay. Now, not 36 people, but 36 answers. I mean, does that make sense? So it's not, I mean, I know there were only 34 participants. I get that. So it's not 34 people, but it's 36 answers. Okay. So there's 14 answers per person, right? But 36 of the answers, you came up with the concept of prayer. But if you notice the totals, 25 of those times were specifically saying to pray for others. I found this very fascinating, that it wasn't as often just the idea of prayer, but in specifically, like when you're talking about a family, for instance, that first question there, it wasn't the generic concept of praying, but it was specifically the role of the family is to pray for family members. That's the role of the family. Okay. So how does a prayer and support for each other fit together?
Prayer is a form of support. I mean, what this probably indicates is a lack of prayer life in a generic Christian. You realize, too, that your maximum number here in your totals is 476. So you have nearly 10% of your responses even mention prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big part of our life.
Yeah.
I expected you to do that.
Right, right. But this is one of the things that we want to kind of bring up. If we understand that we're supposed to support one another, as Christians, what's one of the greatest ways we can support one another is through prayer. We can pray for one another. Now, here's another one that I want you to see, because when we're talking about roles and expectations, on the bottom of this page, this is the concept of moral behavior. So it's not necessarily the phrase moral behavior, but it's the concept. So if you look at the bottom of the page, a total of 106 answers. Okay, remember, each questionnaire has 14 answers, right? But a total of 106 answers somehow talked about behavior as important to role and expectation. That's more than support. So the emphasis here is not on the support for one another in these roles that we play with one another, but instead, it's actually the role and expectation is the person is morally upright. That's the idea. So you can see this being broken down into either the specific word of be an example. That word example came up a lot. Notice that the word example came up 39 times, that word in particular, in 39 answers. That, you know, for instance, the parent is to be an example. The pastor is to be an example. Or even the child is to be an example. All right, so that would be family, spouse, parents. Child would be number 7. See, one time for the child was supposed to be an example. But notice the pastor 3 times is supposed to be an example. But if you look at question number 13, that's a Christian in general. And notice that came up the most. 7 times. The role. The role of the Christian is to be an example. Okay, and then the expectation is also high 5 times that I expect the Christian to be an example. Okay, so I'm bringing this to your attention. Notice that the more of the concept of morality came up 67 times, but that specific word example came up 39 times in the answers. Or 39 answers. And so now in morality, that's 67 times. So there's this huge emphasis on the role is to be an example and an upright, morally behaving person. The expectation is this person is an example, a morally behaving, good character person in society, in the home, in the church. Okay. That number comes up a lot. All right, now turn the page. Now let's look at these numbers here. The number of times that love came up in the answers, okay, the responses, 163 times. Again, we're talking about what's the role of family? Well, they're supposed to love. They're supposed to support. And ironically, that little phrase, I didn't do the breakout here on this, but that phrase, love and support, came up so many times, I'm afraid you guys were cheating. Somebody was looking at somebody else's answers because it was love and support, love and support, love and support, which might go back to what Ruth was saying, is maybe you were brought up that's the standard way of thinking. Love and support. It's a unit. It goes together. Love and support, love and support, love and support. Yes?
So an interesting thing about this is people might have taken the generic meaning of love and support,
yes,
and attributed prayer into that, possibly.
Could have.
So they could have said prayer is included in that love and support.
Yes. And that's one of the disadvantages. These are small answers. You know, it's not a 500-word essay for each answer. Some of you came close. But there was one person, see the back, you know. But yeah, I mean, so it could have, but it is interesting that, again, when you summarize in a small space, it also helps you to kind of zero in on what you think is most important. So what I'm trying to show you is these people thought the love was extremely important, so they brought it out, whereas there were certain people, a smaller number, who thought prayer was so important that it must be drawn out distinct from love. But notice that love comes up 163 times. And you can notice how they're kind of distributed. When you get to questions, remember that you have questions 9 and 10. That's the pastor. So he's the least loving guy, I guess. I mean, so it's not in the expectation. I mean, but notice family, the expectation and the role in the family. I mean, the role is 12. Family's supposed to love. Okay, expectations, the family loves 14 times. The husband and wife, number 3 and 4, 14 times, that's the role. And the expectation's even greater than the role. I expect the spouse to love the spouse, right? But when you get down to question number 9, that's the role of the pastor. So only 4 people said the pastor should be loving. Yeah, yeah. So it goes a certain way. And so look at the pastor. Again, the role of the pastor, question number 9, only 4 people said love, but the role of the congregation members, it went up. So there's the role of the congregation members is to love each other. Okay? And it even goes up even higher at question number 13. That is the role of a Christian. So when you talk about a Christian in society, the role of the Christian is to love. I mean, that's where it shoots back up again. But not the pastor.
That is weird.
Yeah. I think these last two results assert your earlier point that last question on the Christian is about going out to the world.
So. Yeah.
They seem to support that, the love and the behavior.
Right, right. Yes.
I do wonder how many times the word serve might have come up. The role of the pastor might be to serve his congregation in love.
Correct. Off the top of my head, it was not that frequent. I mean, I can do a look. I mean, that's an interesting word too. Like, for instance, with the role of the pastor, a very frequent phrase was word and sacrament, word and sacrament. And that's what, like Ruth said, that's a terminology that you've learned over the years. So you say, what's the role of the pastor? Word and sacrament, law and gospel. So that came up a lot too in that connection. And so, yeah, off the top of my head, I don't have the serve, but it didn't come up as frequent, so it didn't perk my attention. So I don't know how many times. But now look at with love. I broke this down into separate little things so that you can see that you had the idea of the love of God. Okay, so maybe you say two times, notice that in question number one, what's the role of the family? Two times, it's important for the family to understand the love of God. Okay, and so if you go across the board there, look at question number one, this is to love God. So not just love of God, but it's the role of the family to love God. But then notice how it spikes that the word love is used that in the family, the role is to love others. That's the role. Okay. Zero time love of parents. Now, of course, obviously. But you notice that comes up once. You see that? That's the expectation of children. So I just wanted to show that came up once, that it's love of parents in particular, because it was kind of flowing backwards. Most of the times, the idea of love was flowing from the head to the body, from point A to point B. So it was the idea that you flow from husband to wife, okay, parents to children, this kind of an idea. But that one was specifically, there was one answer that said, the expectation is that the children love parents. Okay. But notice that most of these answers, it's to love others. So again, what's the correlation between supporting one another and loving one another? Any thoughts on that? It should be. Yeah. But again, you've got the numbers for all the responses. I mean, in your head, you told me the number of 14 questions for 34 people. I mean, that should have came up in everyone, right? Not necessarily?
No, if I say support, as a Lutheran, when I say I support someone, that means, in my head, I love them.
Okay.
I'm not going to say I love them.
Correct. And this goes back to what we said before. I mean, it is, again, it's a short answer. But the advantage of a short answer is you get to see the highlighted points that the person wants to draw out as specific. So, yes, it could be that support was already thought in the head to mean love. Yeah. But there's... Yes.
Yeah.
Necessarily. But some people did. But again, the word support only came up 95 times. The word love came up more. So the love was something specific that people wanted to draw out and say, that is the specific type of support.
Okay. Support is more of doing something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Supporting as in talking about your problems and helping work through doing something to support.
Yeah.
And now, I set this one up on purpose this way so that you could see the difference between love and support. Because here's what I'm getting at, all right? We have a generic concept of love your neighbor. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that that's bad, but it's a generic concept of love your neighbor. What I'm trying to focus on more specifically is forgiveness. So not just the generic idea of loving your neighbor, but forgiving your neighbor. So, I mean, it's a unique form of love. And as we look through those passages in Ephesians and Colossians and even 1 Peter, notice how closely loving and forgiving are brought together. So if you notice that when you get down to forgiveness, the idea of forgiveness only came up 49 times. 49 answers. Versus love came up 163. Okay. And this is precisely what I thought was going to happen. Well, I shouldn't say precisely. I wasn't that good. I thought forgiveness was going to be zero. But then I said, of course, I keep using the word forgiveness. Somebody's going to throw it. I knew that. But see how there's this big difference between love in the generic and forgiveness as a form of love in the particular. Okay. And then I broke it down kind of God's forgiveness, forgive others. And then you even had, this is that role of the child. I wonder if it's the same person who said the child is supposed to love parents. This one is the child is supposed to forgive the faults of the parents. Okay, so there's one person who said that. And then notice the same thing, and I don't know off the top of my head if it's the same person, but in question number 10, okay, That's the expectation of the pastor, and the expectation is the pastor forgives the faults of members of the church. Which again is one of those interesting things. So you have the role of the pastor, and you say, I don't know if this is specifically this person, but in general you would say something, the role of the pastor is to preach the gospel and administer the sacraments. My expectation is that he's able to forgive the faults of members. Okay, I mean, that would be kind of that distinction of the two. Okay. Any other thoughts about this difference between love and forgiveness here? Now, these are some meditative questions, and I know we're kind of running out of time here. I get it. But I'm going to go through these meditative questions, and if something really strikes your attention, please just bring it up. But so look at these meditative questions, and what I'd ask you to do, too, is as you go your way and you think more about this, you can shoot me an email, kind of give me some ideas or thoughts, some feedback. Okay. So that first question, how do support and prayer help us in our life together? Okay. So support and prayer were two big things that people were talking about. So how does it help us in our life together? Question number two, how does forgiveness help us to support each other? Okay. If support is important, where does forgiveness fit into that? Okay. Number three, how does prayer help us to love and forgive one another? Remember, in the Lord's Prayer, we are praying, forgive us as we forgive others. And so even prayer, you're praying, in general, you pray, okay? But in this questionnaire, more often than not, the idea was that we're supposed to be praying for one another. So not just the general idea of prayer, like, I thank you, God, for this lunch, it's great, bless it. But you're actually praying for the needs and support of others. Okay, so how does that help you to love others and, of course, to forgive others? I mean, just think about this for a minute here. If you've got some animosity towards somebody and you're praying for the person, is that going to help you to be more forgiving toward the person?
Depends on what you're praying for.
Well, but that's part of the thing. God, bring your judgment down upon this person because this person's wrong and I'm right, and justify me, vindicate me because I'm the right one. And as soon as you start saying that, and by the way, forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass. Wait a minute. Forget the first prayer. Yes. Yeah.
That idea is what struck me, is that prayer orients like a person to God, like they're sort of standing before God, and that sort of inherently affects our view of our standing relative to each other.
Yes.
I can't remember who wrote this, but I remember reading someone said something along the lines of, like, if I say God is my father, I have to say that other Christians are my brothers and sisters.
Yes. Yes.
I can't take one without the other, and then as far as like I know that he loves me, he also loves them, and like, how can I say that I love him when I know he loves them and I don't? It truly is God that unites us in that sense. Like we're a family because one God has loved and forgiven us, and so we have to love and forgive each other.
So again, I mean, if you have some more thoughts on your way, I'd love to actually, I mean, shoot me an email, give me some ideas, some thoughts on these. That'd be great. You could write a note too if you don't do email. That's fine. So question number 4 and 5, how are love and forgiveness similar? How are love and forgiveness different? Question number 6, how does forgiveness help us in our life together when we fail to meet the standards of moral behavior? Okay, remember, moral behavior came up a lot. So if the role is a morally upright person that's an example, the expectation, this person is morally upright and example. Well, what happens when this person fails and doesn't meet your expectation or the morality level you set? roles and expectations. Question number 7, how does forgiveness help us in our life together when others fail to, that's what I just said. Question number 8, are you an example of forgiveness? Now, I thought this was intriguing because the word example kept coming up and the word was in relation to morality. Be an example in your behavior. Be an example in your godliness. But nobody came up with be an example as a forgiving person. Okay. So question number 9, what does it mean to forgive? Question 10, what makes it difficult to forgive? Question 11, is it easier to forgive family members, church members, coworkers, or strangers, and why? I'm going to guess, this is just me, but I'm going to guess it's easier to forgive a stranger. Okay? Because you don't have to see him ever again.
What do you expect from a stranger?
Yeah.
You know, I expect something from my brother, right? I expect him to act a certain way.
Yes.
Right? And so if he doesn't, then it makes it harder for me to forgive him for acting differently than I expected.
Yes.
A stranger, you don't know what to expect, so it's much easier. I think you're right.
Yeah. And see, this is why I was tying roles and expectations, because again, we do have expectations. And I would say more often than not, expectations go beyond the roles. I mean, so it's not just the person does the duties of the role, but does them the way that I want him or her to do them, you know, perfectly, or whatever it may be. Question number 12, what does God expect of us? See, now I'm reversing that back the other way. So we have expectations of others. Well, okay, what does God expect of us? And where does forgiveness fit in? Okay. So question number 13, did Christ fulfill the expectations of God for us? And if he fulfilled the expectations of God for us, what about for others? Did he fulfill the expectations of others too? This took a little bit longer than I was planning. They actually ended earlier, I think, in Rio Rancho. But think about these. If you have some ideas, some thoughts, shoot me an email, write it down, hand it to me. If you wouldn't mind, maybe we could even talk a little bit more about this next week. Yeah. So maybe think about these as you go your way. And no, this is not the second questionnaire. This is not the second questionnaire. All right. Bring them back next week, yeah. So take them home. Don't hand them to me now. This is not the second questionnaire. Okay. All right. Well, let's stop there. Thank you.